जय राधा माधव पुण्य विहारी
And now chapter 6, the downfall of Sobri Muni. Maharaj Parikshit, Ambarish had three sons named Virupa, Ketuman, and Shambhu. From Virupa came a son named Prashadashva, and from Prashadashva came a son named Ratitara. Ratitara had no sons, and therefore he requested the great sage Angira to beget sons for him. Because of this request, Angira begot sons in the womb of Ratitara's wife. All these sons were born with brahminical prowess. Having been born from the womb of Ratitara's wife, all these sons were known as the dynasty of Ratitara. But because they were born from the semen of Angira, they were also known as the dynasty of Angira. Among all the progeny of Ratitara, these sons were the most prominent because, owing to their birth, they were considered Brahmins. The son of Manu was Ikshvaku. When Manu was sneezing, Ikshvaku was born from Manu's nostrils. King Ikshvaku had 100 sons, of whom Vikukshi, Nimi, and Dandaka were the most prominent. Of the 100 sons, 25 became kings in the western side of Aryavarta, a place between the Himalaya and Vindhya mountains. Another 25 sons became kings in the east of Aryavarta, and the three principal sons became kings in the middle. The other sons became kings in various other places. During the months of January, February, and March, oblations offered to the forefathers are called Ashtaka Shraddha. The Shraddha ceremony is held during the dark fortnight of the month. When Maharaj Ikshvaku was performing his oblations in this ceremony, he ordered his son Vikukshi to go immediately to the forest to bring some pure flesh. Thereafter, Ikshvaku's son Vikukshi went to the forest and killed many animals suitable for being offered as oblations. But when fatigued and hungry, he became forgetful and ate a rabbit he had killed. Vikukshi offered the remnants of the flesh to King Ikshvaku, who gave it to Vasishta for purification. But Vasishta could immediately understand that part of the flesh had already been taken by Vikukshi, and therefore he said that it was unfit to be used in the Shraddha ceremony. When King Ikshvaku, thus informed by Vasishta, understood what his son Vikukshi had done, he was extremely angry. Thus he ordered Vikukshi to leave the country because Vikukshi had violated the regulative principles. Having been instructed by the great and learned Brahmin Vasishta, who discoursed about the absolute truth, Maharaj Ikshvaku became renounced. By following the principles for a yogi, he certainly achieved the supreme perfection after giving up his material body. After his father's disappearance, Vikukshi returned to the country and thus became the king, ruling the planet Earth and performing various sacrifices to satisfy the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vikukshi later became celebrated as Shashada. The son of Shashada was Puranjaya, who was also known as Indravaha and sometimes as Kukutsta. please hear from me how he received different names for different activities. Formerly, there was a devastating war between the demigods and the demons. The demigods, having been defeated, accepted Purunjaya as their assistant and then conquered the demons. Therefore, this hero is known as Purunjaya, he who conquered the residents of the demons. Purunjaya agreed to kill all the demons on the condition that Indra would be his carrier. Because of pride, Indra could not accept this proposal, but later, by the order of the Supreme Lord, Vishnu, Indra did accept it and became a great bull carrier for Purunjaya. Well protected by armor and desiring to fight, Purunjaya took up a transcendental bow and very sharp arrows, and while being highly praised by the demigods, he got up on the back of the bull, or Indra, and sat on its hump. Thus he is known as Kakutsta. Being empowered by Lord Vishnu, who is the Supersoul and the Supreme Person, Purunjaya sat on the great bull and is therefore known as Indravaha. Surrounded by the demigods, he attacked the residents of the demons in the west. There was a fierce battle between the demons and Purunjaya. Indeed, it was so fierce that when one hears about it, one's hairs stand on end. All the demons bold enough to come before Purunjaya were immediately sent to the residence of Yamaraj by his arrows. To save themselves from the blazing arrows of Indravaha, which resembled the flames of devastation at the end of the millennium, the demons who remained when the rest of their army was killed fled very quickly to their respective homes. After conquering the enemy, the saintly king Purunjaya gave everything, including the enemy's riches and wives, to Indra, who carries a thunderbolt. For this he is celebrated as Purunjaya. Thus Purunjaya is known by different names because of his different activities. The son of Purunjaya was known as Anena. Anena's son was Prithu, and Prithu's son was Vishvagandhi. Vishvagandhi's son was Chandra, and Chandra's son was Yuvanashva. The son of Yuvanashva was Shravasta, who constructed a township known as Shravastipuri. The son of Shravasta was Brihadashva, and his son was Kuvalayashva. In this way the dynasty increased. To satisfy the sage Uttanka, the greatly powerful Kuvalayashva killed a demon named Dundu. He did this with the assistance of his 21,000 sons. O Maharaj Pariksit, for this reason, Kuvalayashva is celebrated as Dundumara, the killer of Dundu. All but three of his sons, however, were burned to ashes by the fire emanating from Dundu's mouth. The remaining sons were Dridashva, Kapalashva, and Bhadrashva. From Dridashva came a son named Haryashva, whose son is celebrated as Nukumba. The son of Nukumba was Bahulashva. The son of Bahulashva was Krishashva. The son of Krishashva was Sainajit, and the son of Sainajit was Yuvanashva. Yuvanashva had no sons, and thus he retired from family life and went to the forest. Although Yuvanashva went into the forest with his 100 wives, all of them were very morose. The sages in the forest, however, being very kind to the king, began very carefully and attentively performing an Indra-yagya so that the king might have a son. Being thirsty one night, the king entered the arena of sacrifice, and when he saw all the Brahmins lying down, he personally drank the sanctified water meant to be drunk by his wife. When the Brahmins got up from bed and saw the water pot empty, they inquired who had done this work of drinking the water meant for begetting a child. When the Brahmins came to understand that the king, inspired by the supreme controller, had drunk the water, they all exclaimed, "Alas, the power of providence is real power. No one can counteract the power of the supreme. In this way, they offered their respectful obeisances unto the Lord. Thereafter, in due course of time, a son with all the good symptoms of a powerful king came forth from the lower right side of King Yuvanashva's abdomen. The baby cried so much for breast milk that all the Brahmins were very unhappy. "Who will take care of this baby?" they said. Then Indra, who was worshipped in that yajna, came and solaced the baby. "Do not cry," Indra said. Then Indra put his index finger in the baby's mouth and said, "You may drink me." Because Yuvanashva, the father of the baby, was blessed by the Brahmins, he did not fall a victim to death. After this incident, he performed severe austerities and achieved perfection in that very spot. Mandata, the son of Yuvanashva, was the cause of fear for Ravan and other thieves and rogues who caused anxiety. O King Pariksit, because they feared him, the son of Yuvanashva was known as Trasadasyu. This name was given by King Indra. By the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the son of Yuvanashva was so powerful that when he became emperor, he ruled the entire world, consisting of 7 islands, without any second ruler. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is not different from the auspicious aspects of great sacrifices, such as the ingredients of the sacrifice, the chanting of Vedic hymns, the regulative principles, the performer, the priests, the result of the sacrifice, the arena of sacrifice, and the time of sacrifice. Knowing the principles of self-realization, Mandata worshipped that transcendentally situated Supreme Soul, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, who comprises all the demigods. He also gave immense charity to the Brahmins, and thus he performed yajna to worship the Lord. All places from where the sun rises on the horizon, shining brilliantly, to where the sun sets, are known as the possession of the celebrated Mandata, the son of Yuvanashva. Mandata begot 3 sons in the womb of Bindumati, the daughter of Shashabindu. These sons were Purukutsa, Ambarish, and Muchukunda, a great mystic yogi. These 3 brothers had 50 sisters, who all accepted the great sage Sobhati as their husband. Sobhati Rishi was engaged in austerity deep in the water of the river Yamuna when he saw a pair of fish engaged in sexual affairs. Thus he perceived the pleasure of sex life, and induced by this desire, he went to King Mandata and begged for one of the king's daughters. In response to this request, the king said, "O Brahman, any of my daughters may accept any husband according to her personal selection." Sobhari Muni thought, "I am now feeble because of old age. My hair has become gray, my skin is slack, and my head always trembles. Besides, I am a yogi. Therefore, women do not like me. Since the king has thus rejected me, I shall reform my body in such a way as to be desirable even to celestial women, what to speak of the daughters of worldly kings." Thereafter, when Sobhari Muni became quite a young and beautiful person, the messenger of the palace took him inside the residential quarters of the princesses, which were extremely opulent. All 50 princesses then accepted him as their husband, although he was only one man. Thereafter, the princesses, being attracted by Sobhari Muni, gave up their sisterly relationship and quarreled among themselves, each one of them contending, "This man is just suitable for me and not for you." In this way, there ensued a great disagreement. Because Sobhari Muni was expert in chanting mantras perfectly, his severe austerities resulted in an opulent home with garments, ornaments, properly dressed and decorated maidservants and manservants, and varieties of parks with clear water lakes and gardens. In the gardens, fragrant with varieties of flowers, birds chirped and bees hummed, surrounded by professional singers. Sobari Muni's home was amply provided with valuable beds, seats, ornaments, and arrangements for bathing, and there were varieties of sandalwood creams, flower garlands, and palatable dishes. Thus surrounded by opulent paraphernalia, the Muni engaged in family affairs with his numerous wives. Mandata, the king of the entire world, consisting of 7 islands, was struck with wonder when he saw the household opulence of Sobari Muni. Thus he gave up his false prestige in his position as emperor of the world. In this way, Sobari Muni enjoyed sense gratification in the material world, but he was not at all satisfied, just as a fire never ceases blazing if constantly supplied with drops of fat. Thereafter, one day while Sobari Muni, who was expert in chanting mantras, was sitting in a secluded place, he thought to himself about the cause of his fall down, which was simply that he had associated himself with the sexual affairs of the fish. He said, "Alas, while practicing austerity, even within the depths of the water, and while observing all the rules and regulations practiced by saintly persons, I lost the results of my long austerities simply by association with the sexual affairs of fish. Everyone should observe this fall down and learn from it. A person desiring liberation from material bondage must give up the association of persons interested in sex life and should not employ his senses externally in seeing, hearing, talking, walking, and so on. One should always stay in a secluded place, completely fixing his mind at the lotus feet of the unlimited personality of Godhead. And if one wants any association at all, he should associate with persons similarly engaged. In the beginning, I was alone and engaged in performing the austerities of mystic yoga. But later, because of the association of fish engaged in sex, I desired to marry. Then I became the husband of 50 wives, and in each of them I begot 100 sons, and thus my family increased to 5,000 members. By the influence of the modes of material nature, I became fallen and thought that I would be happy in material life. Thus there is no end to my material desires for enjoyment in this life and in the next." In this way, he passed his life in household affairs for some time, but then he became detached from material enjoyment. To renounce material association, he accepted the Vanaprastha order and went to the forest. His devoted wives followed him, for they had no shelter other than their husband. When Sobari Muni, who was quite conversant with the self, went to the forest, he performed severe penances. In this way, in the fire at the time of death, he ultimately engaged himself in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. O Maharaj Pariksit, by observing their husband progressing in spiritual existence, Sobari Muni's wives were also able to enter the spiritual world by his spiritual power, just as the flames of a fire cease when the fire is extinguished. Thus ends the 6th chapter of the 9th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Downfall of Sobari Muni.